This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yeah, we were born to be alive, and if you're alive and doing the right thing, you're listening to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and the dancing Chris Switzer over there doing the hustle or the muscle or some kind of, I don't know what the heck it is, but he's doing something.
I'm doing the crawl, that's what I'm doing.
Ah, there we go, so born to be alive today, Chris.
Patrick Hernandez.
Yes.
They're only, his only there, they're all his only hit.
How do you like to see one-hit wonders today on Motormouth Radio, folks?
Yes, and we are certainly a one-hit wonder. We're still waiting for that hit.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what happens.
We're wondering.
We're wondering is right. You're exactly right. You got that.
Where the hit went. Yeah, how are you, Ray, in this kind of cold, gray Sunday? First Sunday in October, I guess you could say.
Yes, it is. Well, weather doesn't come up till later, but you're right. It is kind of a, we still have some storm aftermath. It's,
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. It comes and goes. It's, you know, the car shows today, the Tobey Beach car show and the Ford show, the T-Bird guys are all postponed till next week, till their rain dates on the 9th. Which was no surprise, but given the the weather, it's not bad here on Long Island. I mean, we got a little bit of a mist. It's a little gray. It's, you know, we're not in deluges of rain, so we're safe that way.
Speaking of which, did you see some of the pictures, some of the aftermath of Ian going through Florida? There was the one that breaks my heart the most were the two wing cars.
Yeah.
There was a Daytona sitting. It looked like the back window was blown out. It looked like it was on all four flats. And there was right behind it was a Superbird that was upside down.
Right.
And lying on the concrete upside down.
And there is a bigger story to that. There was that those cars were in a garage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a, you know, one of those the four post lifts where you put two cars up, two cars down.
Right.
There were two more of those cars at the bottom, which the owner had gotten out and brought somewhere, I don't know where,
to higher ground.
I hope not to the marina. And those two were on the top. And I guess he felt, okay, so any kind of storm surge or water, they'll be well above the water. They were blown off the lifts and extricated out to the outside. So, yeah, talk about the force of nature.
Yeah, right.
We thought this was a force of nature.
It's no. True. But I'm thinking there's what would you say, $200,000 vehicles? No.
You know, those cars, I don't keep my finger on that pulse of that Ultima. They've gone up and down so many times. We're talking multi-$100,000 cars. You know, it's definitely six-digit cars.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking to see a picture like that. And they're calling the insurance company. Hey, guess what?
Yeah. But you know, that's the thing. In the boats, there's boats piled up like cordwood everywhere, and terrible thing. But everybody's that's kind of the nature of living in that area. You know, you're going to get that kind of a storm now and again, and some of them they say the 100-year storms. But so you just gotta, you know, you gotta do your due diligence, keep everything in good shape, and try to protect them as best you can. But when you're in the eye of that that force. Our good friend Artie Schilling is down in Myrtle Beach. You know, that area got hit pretty hard too.
I wonder how he's
making out, but anyway.
Who are you?
If you're making out okay, give us a call, 516-572-7440.
Yes.
Check us on social media. Of course, we're Motor Mouth Radio on the web and on Twitter and Facebook. On Instagram, it's real_MotorMouthRadio.
Yes. Yes, I saw you were a busy little boogerhead on Instagram here with the soldering iron. This is awesome sauce here. I'm like, wow. You got a soldering iron. You're working on one of those, the green computer chip solid state boards, and there's a radio involved. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, that was a post really with you. I had you in mind when I made that because it's the station car in the house, the Mazda Protege that nobody wants to drive but me. And the radio, you know, it's the factory radio, and the display, the digital display, went wonky a few years ago. So you didn't get all the segments on the numbers for the radio station. And of course, the time, you could never see what the time was. So
annoying. I know.
Tap it with your finger and sometimes it would come back. It got worse over the years. And one of my things on my list was to take that radio apart. And you've done this a few times. You've talked about this with your cars, where you'll buy another radio and take it apart and fix it. And, you know, so my hope was to fix it. And when I did that, it was more of a chore taking it apart, figuring it all out. But everything I needed was behind that front plate. And it was just a matter of, you know, we've talked about this before. When you look at a circuit board, you know, people say, how do you know what to look for? So you look for anything brown or black, because that'll indicate an overheating or a burned condition.
Right. And I a lot of times I'll pick it up and smell it, try and see if you could smell that epoxy, like faint epoxy smell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you're absolutely right. I mean, any discoloration is a clear sign right there.
Now, the problem with that is that could clearly mean there's a bad component on the other side of that board.
Right.
And, you know, sourcing that stuff out isn't that easy to do. So at that point, you know, okay, I've done what I can do. I'm done. So I didn't see any of that. No burn, no black, no brown. So I said, okay, then I looked for cold solder joints, which I didn't think I was going to find because it was a factory radio, never out of the car, last made in a factory that does, you know, soldering.
Right.
And I didn't see anything, no cold joints. But what I did is I went in and I just started touching all those joints up with a real fine point tip, melting the solder. Some of them I actually sucked the solder off with a solder sucker. That's what it's called.
Yes.
And reapplied it. And some of them I just touched up and maybe added a little more. And all along the way, I said, you know, I don't know if this is going to work. I may put this thing back in. It could be worse. Maybe it's going to smoke and puffocate and just go poof, you know.
You let the smoke out.
Or maybe it'll do what it did. All the display, all the characters lit up. The clock lit up. Everything was there. I could now use my knobs to adjust things. And
it's always good when you can use your knobs and be happy.
Oh, I tell you, you are so right. Basically, I hit a home run on that one. But I could have just as easily been on the wrong side of the equation. I could have made it worse somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily, so now the FJ is next because that one has a, you know, one day, the newer radios have knobs, tuning knobs that they turn like an older pot potentiometer would turn a certain amount of degrees, maybe like 270 degrees. There were things called 5-turn and 10-turn pots that would turn that many turns. No, these are infinite. You can just keep turning it. You'll turn it until your fingers fall off.
Yeah. No, it's true.
And
on some of those radios, yeah.
Because it's an electronic resistant. It's electronic rheostat in there, not necessarily, you know, the old-style wire wound. So the FJ has one of those for the tuning knob for the volume. And I noticed that I would increase the volume, and then it got lower. And I have to increase it more and more and more, and then it would be, like, too loud. So something's going on with that one. That's the next one now that I have to take out and see if I can fix. So
yeah. I had those issues many times. The first time I dug into something like this was with a Riviera. It was an 86 Riv. And the radio had what was known at the time was called the boob tube on the dashboard. It was a touch screen, but it was like a green screen. It was almost futuristic in a way, but it was so antiquated if you think about it now.
Yeah.
But it did have a touch screen with like a bladder type of cover over the tube itself. So it was able to accept commands with the touch screen way of doing things. So it was a very simple type of technology. But the radio itself wasn't behind the dash. It was in the console.
Ah.
And it, for some reason, it would not accept AM. And mind you, like everybody would say, who cares? But I like AM every once in a while.
Right.
I like to hear traffic. I like to hear some news.
Right.
So I was able to take the radio component out, open it up, and did exactly what you did. I said, I don't know what I'm looking at here, but I did some research and found out that GM had this wonderful little habit of cold solder joints on some of their solid state equipment.
Yes.
And I just did exactly what you did. I put on some nice music on the radio. I had a beer and I just sat there and beep, 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 beep. And just with that same simple pinpoint soldering iron, I just shined up some of the solder joints and went, this looks good. This looks good. Because sometimes you really can't tell you if they're so small. Sometimes you can't tell it's cold solder joint. Usually a cold solder joint has a gray, chalky look to it.
It'll be dull. Yeah. Whereas a dull solder joint is shiny. Yes.
A good solder joint looks like a very shiny teardrop of mercury.
Right.
Like that really, really, really nice, bright, shiny silver. So that's basically my go-to legend. When it comes down to what a solder joint is supposed to look like. So,
right.
Because some of them are so small, you really can't tell. And I did that. And as luck would have it, put it all back together and rediscovered that the AM worked. I did it there. I did it with the Pathfinder. The clock was going out. I did the same thing you did. I went around it, took it all apart, went around it with the soldering iron, put it back together again. Lo and behold, I had a clock. But the funny thing was, the Impala radio, because that car had no lights. There was no illuminating lights in the buttons. It worked fine. It's just when you turn the radio on at night or turn the lights on, half those small little wheat bulbs that were in there were out.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'll just go find the wheat bulbs. No big deal. I pulled the radio apart and found out that the bulbs were soldered into the component. They were soldered into the board.
Yeah.
So I made a phone call to the dealer, and dealer's like, no, you can't take those out. You have to buy a new radio. Okay, how much is the radio?
$900. Right.
I'm like, I'm taking those bulbs out, Bunky. So that's what I did. At the time, I went to Radio Shack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who goes to Radio Shack? There are none.
Right.
So I went to Radio Shack, bought these wheat bulbs. Mm-hmm. and swapped them out. And that's how I did it and that was a little tricky.
Yeah.
Popping a bulb out of a solid state board.
Right, right.
Because the heat can be the enemy.
Oh, yeah. You could overheat very fast.
Very fast. So, and you can compromise some of the solder joints around where you're heating. And that was like a fear that I was having. So I kept the fire extinguisher there. No, I didn't keep a fire extinguisher.
No,
but then, yeah, it is. And it really isn't hard to do. If you're a retired guy.
Right.
You gotta have a lot of time on your hands.
I find myself at this point in time saying, hey, you know, I need something. What am I going to do? And it's just like, the car was sitting there, and I said, you know, I've been meaning to look at that radio for a couple of years now, never had to. Let me go look at it now. And I just walked out there, and, you know, getting it out of the dash was the hardest part of the whole thing. But that's the whole thing. I think people, now, not everybody's going to dive into a project like that. I understand that. A lot of people don't, you know, they don't understand. They haven't worked with circuit boards, and you know, I have a background with that, so I'm comfortable in that arena.
Yeah, you and I both. It's the same thing. I have not as extensive as your background, but yeah, I've messed up.
Yeah, you're comfortable,
time,
so. Right?
Comfortable.
So people, I encourage people to do that. If there's something that you know that's in your wheelhouse, you have a skill and a talent, and you can apply it to something. So apply it a little bit out of the box and see where you go. And with something like this, like what was the worst that was going to happen? Well, the radio wouldn't work. And
okay.
At that point, I'd say, well, you know what? I was almost ready to change it anyway because I couldn't read the damn display, you know. And every time, like, if I had to disconnect the battery and you had to reset the radio, I was literally going by the digits I could see and knowing how the radio, how the FM signals increment. So I would know how many times to, like, push the scan seat.
Oh,
button.
My God. What an ordeal.
And that's what I'd have to do to set that radio. And forget about the clock. I didn't even bother with the clock. You know?
Holy shamoly. Yeah, no, I'm glad you fixed it. Wow. I actually talk about replacing radios. I had a radio for the LeBaron
mm-hmm.
that was cutting in and out. And that was a little too rich for my blood. I don't think I was able to repair something like that. So I said, you know what? Let me go online and find another radio. And I did. I went online. I found another one that had the same cassette and CD player, options that this one did. And it was at a very good price. So I get it shipped to me and I look at the radio and all the buttons are worn out.
Oh, yeah.
Like whomever had that radio was a button pushing fiend,
right?
And literally wiped out. Now you can't fix that.
No.
Unfortunately, you can't fix it,
no.
But the radio worked great. So I'm like, I got a radio that has decent buttons that doesn't work well. And yeah. I got a radio that works really well, but the buttons are worn out.
Yep.
So what do?
You switch the buttons.
And it's switch the buttons. I took the faceplate off and I started going mix and match with the buttons, and I got a decent radio out of it. But now here I have another radio that's, it's almost like a parts radio.
Right. Yeah, yeah, sure.
So I'm literally going to put it back on eBay and sell it as a core,
yeah,
you know, as
yeah.
maybe someone that has advanced knowledge of these things can snap them up. And I've done this in the past. I've had radios that were questionable. You know, you end up with them and you go, where in the world did I get this from? But you can't test it because you don't have the car for it anymore.
Right.
So I would put it on eBay and just say, it's a core.
You don't know what
I don't
to
know if it works or not.
What I wanted to mention to you is this one of the, you wouldn't know it by looking at it because now cell phone cameras have gotten better. But one of those pictures, I actually brought my magnifier down, my lit magnifier.
Yeah.
And I was working through that, and I took one of those pictures through that lit magnifier with the phone.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to tell because the phone is so good. The other pictures came out kind of just as good. But
I got to look now. I've
done that with a couple other things. When I was detailing my headlight bezels for my GTO, I was painting in that rib, and I had it in the magnifier, and I put the phone over the magnifier and took a picture to get a little bit more oomph, but it's almost imperceptible. You almost wouldn't know.
Yeah, you're right. Now that you explain it, I can see one just an edge of the picture. And if you didn't tell me, I would have never known.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could just see a little distortion at the edge of the picture. But yeah, that's definitely a magnified picture, and it looks great.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally looks very good. Yeah, I would never have thought that. It is amazing the quality of pictures.
Oh, I know.
Coming from your phone.
Hey, your quality of things, quality of guests. You want to have a ready to talk to a guest on the phone? You want to talk to a friend?
I would love to talk to a friend.
We are scheduled to have our good friend Dina Parisi call today, and let's see if she's available and she can give us a buzz and we'll catch up on what's going on in her world.
You mean the former ice skating pro mod champion Dina Parisi, the one that can drive a pro mod car and make a fantastic lasagna almost at the same time?
You got it. You got that right. You got that right. Let me just make sure she's got the right phone number.
Okay. I love when you are actually like texting and running a radio show at the same time.
Right. Well,
far more talent than I can scrape up right there.
And here we go. Over to the phones and the fun, and we'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
She can drive a pro mod, but she can't dial a phone.
There we go. Well, you know what? All skills being equal. Dina, how you doing?
Miss Dina!
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
I miss my puzzles.
Yeah, I know.
So do we.
I know. See, I'm not there. I can't bring any food, you know.
Right.
I know. Where are you now? You're like crisscross the country. Where are you?
I know. I'm in Georgia.
Right.
Oh, you're blending right in, young lady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, yeah, you blend.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're
I'm
blending,
right
yeah.
in. Right in.
Right, right.
You walk into like a supermarket and you go to the deli counter and you ask for like provolone cheese and they're like, huh?
Yeah, I do. I have to watch what I say. You know what's really funny though? Like, I was in the supermarket the other day and like I wanted to get broccoli rabe and you know they only have it, you know, sometimes. And
yeah.
You can't. I like doing self-checkout because, you know, the regular checkout, they don't even know what that is.
Sure.
And there was this other woman, and she had very dark hair, the older lady, very dark hair, and she went for the eggplant and the broccoli rabe, and I was like, oh, she's from New York. I knew right away. She didn't even have to open her mouth. And I was like, where are you from? I just look at her and go, where are you from? He goes, where are you from?
No, where are you from?
It was hilarious. I said, you went for the eggplant and the broccoli rabe. I said, I knew immediately that you were not from here. She goes, I know, because there's always a plethora of eggplant and broccoli rabe. Nobody ever buys it.
Right.
So, I don't know what to do with it.
It's like broccoli rabe is probably like the northern version of, what are those things called?
Kale?
That really bitter. No, that really bitter. It'll come to me. It's that really bitter thing that they eat down here. And it's probably like our version of that. So,
yeah.
Right. What is it?
People are probably sitting in going, why are they talking about food? But
well, no, and you know, with that, my wife just made the other night, for the first time, she made eggplant rollatini, which is one of my favorites. And I always wondered, like, how do you roll that damn eggplant? You know, but and I was wrong. I thought it would either be steamed or boiled. But no, you actually kind of pan fry it, and it rolls right up. It was delicious.
Yeah, it's delish.
Of course, because we make the same ricotta mix that I make for the lasagna. It is like parsley, and I got, you know, salt, pepper, parsley, egg, and what else I put in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the good stuff. It's like, yeah, this is. I'll taste that cheese all day. I'll just sit there and eat it by the spoonful.
Well, that's yummy. Send some on down.
Yeah, I don't need nothing. I'll just give me that. Right. So. So what's new in the world, or what's on the slate in the race world these days? I know we're not looking at anything else this season, but what's
right,
else?
Right, right. Andrew's gotten the car is, you know, very much up to snuff, and, you know, having to keep that fresh because, you know, when we are ready, we don't want it to be behind the times, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, NHRA just made a rule change. It was 14.555 over. Now it's 16. So they just made a rule change, for the blower cars and for the roots blows. And, so we're ready. We're ready to go. We're still 20 over, really.
Okay.
But we got a new trailer. It's actually been a year. I can't believe it's been that long. It's a new to us trailer, not a new trailer.
Right.
It's actually a 2001, and it's an old NASCAR trailer. So it's way different than what we've been used to.
Uh-huh.
It's nice because there's so much storage. There's a lot of storage down on the bottom. So it's still like a stacker, but you don't stack two cars. There are other one, you know, you'd have one car on the bottom and one on the top, not as much storage. This one is all storage on the bottom, and then it has a little bit of like a lounge, and we put some cabinets up there, and, you know, that's where the guys can sit and, you know, read the computer and all that. And we actually, it had a place where the driver kept his suit and things like that, and took the closet out and made a bathroom.
Wow. I was thinking, if it's a NASCAR trailer, Dean, I figured you took the closet out and made a still out of it.
Yeah.
You're finding peanut shells all over the floor.
A bottling facility.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's funny. You talk about peanut shells, like Al Hanna, who has, you know, one of the best jet car teams around. We used to talk to Al, and that was one of the things he never allowed in his pit area.
Uh-huh.
You were not allowed to have peanut shells in his pit area.
Oh.
Like, that was, like, taboo. Yeah, that was one of his taboo things. That's funny. So every time I hear peanut shells, I'm like, oh, Al Hanna would have a heart attack because
Yeah, they're a superstitious bunch, racers, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's a superstition about peanut shells in the pits.
Yeah, superstition about peanut
shells.
And green used to be a superstition. Years ago, not anymore, but green used to be a big superstition, it's not obviously anymore.
That was in the hot rod motorcycle world. Yeah, nobody painted anything green. It was...
Yeah. Now, I mean, anything goes.
Right.
So, and if anyone takes a look at social media, and you can find me anywhere, just Dina, if you go to DinaPreciVentures.com or just look up Dina Preci, any of my social media, you'll see there's some videos of the before and after. So the lounge actually had a lot of water damage. So Andrew tore it down and and built everything back up, and it looks great. It doesn't look anything, you know, it was kind of like, it was very 80s before, you know, it was black couch and white formica and, you know, red piping on it. And
yeah.
it had this like disco Dan, like ceiling.
I don't think that was just an NASCAR trailer.
Well, you know, when I think 80s, though, I think of like the dove gray with the splash of fuchsia and maybe a little splash of, you know, like, you know, like maroon or gold.
Yeah, no, not Golden Girls 80s.
This was like
80s, you know, Formica.
Right. I'm thinking he did some entertaining in that trailer there. I want to come in and see my trailer.
It's completely different. I actually put a tin ceiling in it. Andrew, much to Andrew's dismay, because he's like, really, a tin ceiling? I'm like, I have to have it. And, you know, he's like, okay, fine.
You know,
Excuse me. Wow, that's funny.
Keep talking. Don't let me interrupt you. We'll just play a little background
music. Right
here.
Along with that ceiling.
Right, there we go.
Gina's going to start skating.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
that's right with that ceiling.
And, of course, and what would you do in that trailer? There we go.
So you took down the mirrored ceiling and you put up a tin ceiling.
And we said, go ahead.
A little bit of a tin ceiling.
Right. Close as I get to hitting a post. Anyway.
Wow.
We'll have to do a puzzle video just for you.
Since I happen to have my disco classic CD, couldn't resist.
I love it.
Do you have your platform shoes too?
No. I left those.
Yes. And my orthopedic socks.
I'm old.
Oh, you're nice. So it's coming along. We just finally bought some tires for it and can't get anybody to put the tires on because they want us, you know, to take the tires and rims there. And he's like, I'll do it myself.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, Andrew's going to do everything himself like he always does.
Okay.
So, because they want a fortune for it. And he's like, I could just buy the tools and do it myself. So that's what you can do.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he decided to do everything himself.
Yeah, he's going to mount tires himself.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. You know, I mean, whenever we, and they don't really have to be balanced. It's, you know, because it's huge. So
Right. It's
not really the same.
Yeah. And unlike car tires, they have a very soft sidewall. So you're able to, and they're big. You know, the bigger the tire, the easier it is to change. The smaller ones with the, with the small sidewalls are a real pain in the neck.
Exactly.
Even on a tire
machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And then the only thing we have to get is, a tire and rim for a spare, because it doesn't have a tire and rim for a spare. So
Okay. That's
the only other thing, because we never travel without a tire and rim for
good idea.
If you go through our history, we have been there, done that. We've always traveled that way because there it always happens.
Right.
You know, at least once every few trips, you wind up blowing a tire. So
Yeah.
On the trail.
You know, it just happens. Right. Yeah. And we don't have the motorhome anymore, so.
Right.
And you never really know it until it's like, until the damage is too far gone, right? Because the trailer is huge. So you don't know when the tire is starting to go flat. Right? You have to look in the mirror and say, what's that smoke?
Yeah, and that's it. As soon as you start to see the smoke, you know, you're like, oh, we're done, and you just pull over.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I have some video and photos of us, you know, on the side of the road. I have a meme that I made that of the tire, like, you know, shredded, and it says, you know, Italians be like, we can get a few more miles out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that's past the Italian tire stage. The Italian tire stage is called the radios, right?
Right.
Yeah, you know, so we don't yet have anything. We don't have anything to tow it with yet, so we're working on that. So, because it's a kingpin, so it's not what we've traditionally had in the past. So,
yeah.
Whole nother animal, so.
Yeah, you need like an F-350 dually with a, you know, with the fifth wheel hookup. That'll help.
Yeah, or a semi. So
yeah, or a semi. Right.
Or a semi. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So we're just you know, it's little by little, you know, building back up. It's, you know, I wish it were easy.
Our friend Al is saying, you know, they actually make aftermarket TPMS systems that you could put, so you can have a tire pressure monitor on those tires, and you can check it in the cab and see what's going on with the tires as you're driving. That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all.
He does a lot of trailering, so I'm sure he knows from experience.
Oh yeah, I might have to get some advice.
Right.
There is just so much that goes into what you do. Before you even put the car on the pavement, there's just so much that goes into it, and the fact that you both are on top of it, and take care of these things is just remarkable. What goes into a race team?
I like to try to show people a lot of the behind the scenes stuff for that reason. You know, I get a lot of people that are like, oh, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing. And I'm like, you have no idea how, you know, it's just him and I. Like, we don't, you know, we have other people that will help us once the racing kind of ensues. We have other people that help us, and really, they help us for meatballs and beer. You know, they're a volunteer. They're not paid.
Right.
You know, we'll help them, of course, if they're traveling somewhere. You know, we pay their gas and stuff. We don't want it to cost them money.
Yeah. Right.
But they all volunteer because they're friends of ours and they love the sport and it's just, it's a labor of love for them, which is good for us, and we appreciate it. But I like to show people the behind the scenes because I want them to know what, not just us, what many drivers go through, drivers and teams, I should say, go through. There's so much to it, you know, just the trailer and keeping up the trailer and keeping the car up and doing the marketing end of it and the social media side of it.
Yeah.
And social media is just, it's become so toxic now. It's just, there's so much of it is can be a little tough to deal with. I try to do everything with a little bit of humor just because that's my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I see people fighting back and forth and I'm like, girl, I don't have that kind of time. You know, I temper everything with humor, and it usually brings people around too, just because it's just not my personality. Like, I don't know. It's just not me. But, and the safety side too, I've been trying to educate people about the safety, and that's for the fans, just because it's interesting to them to understand what we actually wear. Because a lot of people are like, why do I have no idea you wear all that stuff? You know, I'm like, it's 100 degrees out and I'm literally wearing a snowsuit.
Well, you did a great you did a great TikTok video where you know, you're wearing your street clothes and then you bend down, you come up and you wear a race suit. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It goes down that easy, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that was
I had on my little house slippers and everything.
Right. And then boom, racing.
My little old lady house slippers. But but I'm trying to let them understand, you know, what we wear to stay safe. And because I have people, like at one point when we were selling safety equipment, I did tell the story. I had a gentleman that came in and he said to me, well, you know, I don't go as fast as you, so I don't need gloves. And he was like a hobby racer, you know, and I don't care what you're, I don't care if you're going 10 miles an hour, you know what I mean? And I said to him, well, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a plumber. And I'm like, oh, a plumber, you say? So I said, you know, fire burns at 0 miles per hour, right? Mm. I'm just throwing that out there for you because I've seen a fuel line break at the line where the car wasn't even moving.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to snake that pecs when you have big sore blisters all over your hands.
Exactly. And, you know, and I've seen the fire ensue literally at the line. So I said to him, listen, I'm not saying it to scare you. I'm not saying it because to push a sale. I'm saying it because that's how I am about safety.
Right.
So you really have to think, this is your hobby. And if you're, I said, the first thing that's going to get burnt is your hands because they're exposed. They said, so if you think about it, you're not going to be able to work.
Yeah.
Then you can't work. You're going to have to sell your car. So,
you know, Dina, for many years, I've always been a big proponent of motorcycle safety and clothing. And I've had this argument with people where they finally agreed to buy a pair of correct boots and pants mm-hmm. and a jacket. But again, no gloves or fingerless gloves. And I tell them, you know, do you realize in the event that you do leave that motorcycle on the road, you're going to become Superman, meaning, and what I do is I'll stretch my arms out. And this is what you do as a human. You put your arms out in front of you to break your fall. So the mm-hmm. first thing hitting the pavement is the palms of your hands.
Yep.
And they're going to grind to a halt to try and stop you. I said, now, how's it going to be working on a computer with those blisters? You know, you're not going to be doing anything for months. In months.
Right.
A simple pair of gloves just puts a barrier, and if you get Kevlar, then you can get Kevlar and all sorts of other stuff. But
yeah, everybody goes by that it's not going to happen to me scenario, and I'm like, look, maybe it won't happen, and that's fantastic. If it doesn't happen, great. But wouldn't you rather be proactive than reactive?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it just makes sense.
Well, I'll tell you what we have to be proactive about around here. It's our bottom of the hour break. Dina, we need mm-hmm. you to stick with us. Chris, we got to do it because we're a couple minutes over. I have to tell you about a show on this station. This is great. This fits in perfect today for our read. It's Rita Monty. And Rita does a show Thursdays. It says October 6th. It'll be every Thursday, I believe, from 5 to 8 p.m. Oh, this will be 3 hours of Profuma d'Italia.
Oh, tutte bene.
Yes, this special fundraiser. That's why it's a special fundraising show featuring great music, unique interviews, and guest call-ins. Don't miss the opportunity to support the voice of Nassau Community College on 90.3 WHBC. And Rita's husband owns a Fiat like I do. So they're great people.
And in Italian, a fundraiser is that you'll give me money.
Right. You'll give it to me. You'll give me the money. You give it to me, I spend. Yeah, that's it.
I spend. You give it to me, I spend.
I also have to mention that it's featured by and sponsored by Pantano's Gourmet. Today's weather, windy with rain becoming heavy at times, high 62. Tonight, more of the same, cloudy with occasional rain and low 50s. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to...
thanks to Ian.
The voodoo that you do, Chris. Do we have an honor group of the hour?
Well, of course we do, Ray. And this week here on Motormouth Radio, the honor group of the hour is, if you keep chasing that annoying squeak in your door hinge... Does it happen every once in a while when opening up a door to your classic car and you're greeted with that annoying, you know, that special form of arthritis? It's widely known in the car world as carthritis, and it happens in an instant. So if you run for the WD-40 or the Liquid Wrench or one of my favorites, the Power Lube, and spray a liberal amount, into the offending hinges while opening and closing the door until you extinguish the offending squeak, or until the neighbors question your sanity, he's opening and closing the doors and he's not getting in the car. Then, of course, you spray the other doors and the trunk and the hood, too. And if you're really nuts like me, you spray the hinges on your wife's car and have to hear her for a couple of days saying, "What's that funny smell?" every time she drives it. So if you have that favorite spray lubricant and it's always at the ready to fight the bouts of automotive door carthritis, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Very good. All right, Dina, we need you to hang on with us while we take our bit of a break here, our audio breaks, and play some spots. We'll be back in a minute. I want you all to get down on it now because it's going to be more fun and frolic with Dina Parisi from Parisi Racing on Motormouth Radio here on 90.3 WHPC. Chris, feel free to dance again if you like.
I'm getting ready.
All right. Dina, you stick tight. We'll be right back.
I got my high heel sneakers on.
90.3 WHPC. Hang there. Hang with it and get down.
Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You gonna get down? Tell me.
Get down on it. Get down on it. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by Pantano's Gourmet, with three locations in Hewlett, Uniondale, and Garden City Park. Hi, my name is Mike Pantano, owner and operator of Pantano's Gourmet, where we love to feed you. Serving breakfast all day, crazy lunch sandwiches, or let us cater your next event. Why cook? We deliver. Menus and more information are available online at PantanosGourmet.com. Oh, Pantano's.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services. 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motor Mouth!
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone,
Motor Mouth!
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car's like you.
Ray was here earlier, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motor Mouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a motor mouth, my friend.
I am a motor mouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Yeah, you might learn something. That's our good friend Jassy John, of course. And, all right, Dina, you're still with us.
I'm here.
Have you learned anything?
Not today.
I didn't think so. No, not today. Probably wouldn't be the day for learning. Yeah. So
not on this show, no.
No. Okay. So where do we leave off? We were talking about. Well, you were updating.
We were talking safety, actually.
Right.
And safety, I know you talk a lot of motorcycle safety, just like I talk a lot of race car safety. Mm-hmm. And I tend to do it in like real car safety too, like. You know, one of my pet peeves is people driving with, like, their feet on the dashboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that makes me nuts.
It makes me crazy, especially when I see parents let their teenagers put their feet on the dashboard and drive with their feet on the dashboard.
I wanted to yell out the window.
Oh, I want to yell out the window and go, if you get into an accident, that kid is going to crunch like a pretzel.
Plus, we don't want to see their stanky feet up in the window.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Please.
I wouldn't want anybody's feet on my dashboard either, but that's a whole other thing. But, you know, and then it goes on to the pets, like people riding with their pets in their lap, and, you know, I could go on forever. Nobody wants to hear me, but I can go on forever.
Right.
I try to talk safety to people, especially, you know, drivers that race car drivers, either if they're new to it or if my husband is listening, obviously listening. So he said, I would throw you out of the car if you put your feet on the dashboard.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Good, good.
but I like to, I don't want to sound preachy, but I do want to talk safety to a lot of the people that are maybe just coming into the industry, or they've been in the industry and they really didn't have anyone to guide them. Maybe they're going to a track that's not so tough on safety. So they just feel like, well, if it's not mandated, I don't need to wear it, that kind of thing. So just trying to let them know that, you know, just err on the side of caution.
Right, right.
So. Dina, are there tracks that are, there's different levels of safety? Like there's some things that can be acceptable in some tracks than others?
Well, I mean, there shouldn't be, but there are. You know, you take like an NHRA sanctioned track or IHRA sanctioned track, they're going to be a little bit tougher on safety because they're going to go by what's mandated for certain classes. And, you know, a street class, they're going to mandate probably a helmet and make sure that they're wearing at least long pants, shoes, obviously. But they'll let them wear a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Maybe. No, they won't have to wear a long sleeve shirt. You know, and I'll advise people at least to wear a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
Get a pair of gloves. You know, get a jacket. If you're going to wear jeans, at least get a jacket and a pair of gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I keep the fire thing to me, that's the biggest.
Mm.
You know, I don't know if anyone saw, and I can't remember his name, Jason. I can't remember his name. The truck. He was one of the NASCAR truck.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Can't think of
Jason something. So he, as his truck went on fire, it was like it exploded mid-race. And as he tried to get the truck to the wall, he was getting himself out of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obviously fully suited, head sock, the whole deal. And he had neck burns. He had burns behind his knees. So he still got second degree burns, even being fully clothed.
Right.
Is that Jason Kitzmiller?
I think it started with an A.
Okay.
Like Alexander Anderson, something to that nature, I believe. You know, I'm not familiar with the truck series, so. But I did happen to come across it this morning because I wanted to see how he was doing, so I had researched it.
Actually, I think the best thing I saw recently was you retweeted and commented on the NASCAR guys, the one guy who started beating the crap out of the guy. That was hilarious.
But the funniest part was the fact that he was... Oh, Jordan Anderson. Andrew just texted me.
Jordan Anderson. Right.
So here he is fighting with this guy in the car. Dude didn't even have his helmet off yet.
I know.
Like, if you're going to make it a fair fight, let him get out of the car and take his helmet off.
Right. And he was pummeling him through the window.
I'm sorry, but that was the most hilarious thing I had ever seen. And then just the interview afterwards, I don't know what was funnier, him pummeling him or the interview afterwards was comic.
I always have to give the interviewee some slack because now that adrenaline is high, the guy was just in a race. He got bumped off the track, you know, and then he got out and he's fighting with the guy. So he's not going to speak in the way he would normally speak. So you got to give him a little slack. But I just want to back up to one thing, Dina. I know for a while you were having trouble. I think it was on Twitter, wasn't it, with your count of your followers? I know you would post.
No, it's actually Instagram.
It was on Instagram? Okay.
It's Instagram. Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that?
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
I didn't want to start another account. I did. I just haven't been working on it, but I've been stuck at like 10,000 for 2 years, literally on Instagram.
Really?
No one on Instagram will help me. The only ones that want to help me are, you know, the janky accounts that are like, we'll help you with your Instagram.
Right.
Give us, you know, $2,000. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But it's just been stuck. It doesn't move. I see all the new followers, the beautiful new followers coming in. They're just not being counted. My engagement rate is great. The engagement rate is good, but it's just the follower count for some reason is not working.
Maybe you should send like 5,000 of them over to us. And then maybe it'll help. We can help rebuild it. I don't know.
I have no idea. And it's funny because it's not an analytic. It's definitely not an analytics thing. There's just some kind of glitch there. You know, and I've tried messaging Animosary and Instagram, and I send them messages. I've sent them a million.
Yeah.
I've sent Meta messages.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah, you
they
call them right out on the I know. See, you call them right out, like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I'm just trying to deal with it. It's very annoying.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Wow. Yeah, because who do you complain to?
So Andrew is texting me while we're on the phone, and he texts me. He says, "Well, you're old, so that's why."
How to win friends and influence people.
I said, "Okay."
Andrew's read the book.
That's funny. Oh my! But yeah, so it hasn't changed, and I'm just. You know, whatever. It's frustrating, but I can't. As long as the engagement's good, then I'm okay with that. So, right. You know, because the engagement is what I need for my marketing partners, and that's what's important. So,
right.
How much time do you spend on social media, Dina?
It depends on the day. I try to have some videos like pre-made, and then I will. I'll take them and I'll repurpose them, but at different times.
Okay.
So that it doesn't, you're not seeing repetitive videos all at the same time. So they'll just get repurposed. Yeah. But I know that a lot of the followers that I have, some, you know, are specific to one, some are specific to TikTok, some are specific to Instagram, some are specific to Facebook. So they're not all from the same,
the same platform. I'll tell you this, but thing that really annoys me is from people in places that I follow, they'll repost the same damn post, like, over and over in the same day. I'm like, all right, I saw that three times already. Enough.
Yeah, see, if I repost something, it's usually something older. If I don't have time to make a new video, I'll repost something older that was a pretty good video or a pretty fun video or something that's relevant maybe to things that are going on or whatnot. So
I'll tell you what, I'd like to request more driving videos of Andrew.
With Andrew.
Yeah. Because those to me are the best.
They're pretty good, yeah.
Hands down. They crack me up because he cracks up so genuinely and it just makes you laugh. It's great.
Because it really is genuine because I'll just start videoing and just wait and see what happens.
I mean, I think he passed a cheese sandwich through his nose on one of those. It was like, because it's so real. It's like, it really is a slice of life. That's like being in the seat next to the guy. And we've all been there. It's phenomenal. More of those, please.
There's a lot of times where I don't know, like, I'll just get a feeling, I'll say something, and then I'll just start videoing it, and his responses are priceless.
Yes.
Just priceless.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, I don't know how the man spent 21 years with me. I don't know how he does it. I don't, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, some Glenlivet scotch.
21 years and you haven't had a fight, right?
Not the
least
one.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know we talk about that because there was one specific fight that we had that was priceless because we were it was a test session that was right before a race, and we were next to our friend Kevin, and we both were having issues, and you know I went to do the burnout and having some issues, and usually do the burnout at like 7,000 RPMs for those of you paying attention. And it would only go up to like 3,600, 3,700. Huh. And I was like, well, that's not good. So reversed it, went back, rolled through the water, tried to do it again. And then went up to like 3,500. And I'm like, oh, that ain't good. So I clicked it off. Like we have, like Houston, we have a problem. So pull it back. And they pushed the car to the side. And there's like a few fans in the stands. It was just testing. Not really a lot of people there. But there was people. And they could see that he came around to the side of the car, and he's yapping in my ear on the earpiece. A lot I can't repeat, really, mm-hmm. even right now. Right. And he's, what the beep, 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 what the beep, beep. Like, he was like, just send it. Send what? Send what? It's a 3,500 RPM. It won't go past 3,500 RPMs. Where am I going to go? Mm-hmm. I said, I couldn't even go get a gallon of milk as fast as I'm going to be able to go. So now I still have my helmet on, and I can see these people looking at me. And this woman is like, you know, she's like taking pictures, videoing. And as he makes the mistake to come around the side of the car and put his head in the car.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Makes the mistake.
I grab his
He's in the line instead.
Like, ever do that to me again, I will kill you right here where you stand.
Dead.
He just walks away, and you know, we kind of left it there, and then, you know, we stayed away from each other in the pit area for a bit. And then I had to tell my crew guy, I'm like, dude, something's wrong. Like, I don't know what is, you know, because sometimes he just doesn't believe me. You know, he's my husband. He's like, you know, I don't believe. Well,
why should he believe you? Of course.
He finally had to turn around, and one of the guys stopped me. He's like, I know what's wrong with it. It wound up when they restripped the blower, they put the rotors in backwards. Oh, we didn't do it. Someone else did it for us. They put the rotors in backwards.
Well,
you know, it's on the wrong side. So, yeah. Oh, so
there's a lesson learned.
Pushing the air out instead of sucking it in.
Right.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, oh, God.
That was interesting. But anyway, yeah, so it was funny, especially for the lady that was, you know, taking the pictures. I'm like, good thing she couldn't read my lips and what I was saying.
Right.
Right. She's like, oh, that's love and affection. Meanwhile, like, I'll rip your face off.
And feed it to you. All right, Tina, we burned it out. We got to go. So we thank you for coming on with us and spending some time and giving us that insight. That's some great stories. We appreciate that. And it's great catching up with you. It's always good to talk with you. It's always good to have you around.
Yeah,
thank you, guys. It's always like old home week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anytime. Yeah. Listen, you don't need an invitation to drop in. So, you know, if you ever want to chat and just shoot the breeze or drop a story on us, you know how to get us. You know how to do it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Anybody wants to, you know, follow on social, please do.
Yep. You want to throw it out?
Got to get that number past 10 grand.
Throw the handles out there again so people know. How do they find you?
Yeah, just DinaParisiVentures.com. You can find me there and just hit all the social media up or just look for Dina Parisi.
Got it. Very good. Thanks, right. Dina. Right. And say hi to Andrew.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you again soon.
I will. Thanks, guys.
All righty.
Be so safe.
Long.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The great Dina Parisi. Yes, from Parisi Racing.
Yes, Pro Mod champion and overall figure skater and exceptional chef.
Absolutely. Great people, too. Great people.
Yes. Dina and Andrew, I miss them. I miss them a bunch. Always had a good time.
And speaking of great
all the events,
we're going to have some more great people filtering through here in the next few weeks. Hopefully, we're going to, you know, Eddie Lyle is going to be coming back on with us from Lyle Tools.
Oh, wow.
And also, we're going to land our good friend Luke Tucker from Easy Red. We'll get him back in. There's another tool company that I found on Instagram, I think it was on Instagram, fellow Clint. It's a special kind of a tool that holds nuts and bolts up in odd places if you can't. So I got to reach out to him and try and get him in. And I got a friend, Lenny, a personal friend of mine, who's been working.
Doesn't everybody have a friend named Lenny?
I guess so, yeah. He works on a lot of EV stuff and charging stations. He's gave me a lot of insight recently into what's going on with charging these cars. We've been talking about that kind of in our periphery the last few weeks. So this Lenny's going to be a guy who's going to give us he's the technician doing the work. So we're going to have somebody in the field giving us the information. So
very
we'll
nice.
Be getting him on in the next few weeks, too, and we'll carry on with that. So
that's going to be I like the fact that electric vehicles are sparking a lot of controversy, a lot
don't
of talk.
Use that word spark too easily. Don't
Sparks.
Throw that around too much. That's a dangerous one.
Yeah, and I didn't know I did it.
I know. It's kind of, I know. And there is an EV called, you know, Chevy had a car called the Spark.
They did.
Right.
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 And it was like super small. I think there was spec and the spark, and then there was the crumb, and then there was the fleck.
Right.
And then they were just getting smaller and smaller.
Right.
And then there was the microscopic.
All right, but now we're going to microscopically get out of here because Kim is coming in with Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen in the Band, and we'll be back next week. Well, Kim is still walking around, so we'll wait for her to come back in. And I love the way the pros do their shows. I'm in such awe.
Yeah, they just fall right in front of the microphone.
I know.
They got a show. No preparation possible, that's for sure. So for Ray Guarino.
Thank you. What do we always say, Chris, to the people waiting in the parking lot for me?
Don't follow us home unless you have a tray of lasagna.
You got it. We'll make plenty of old teeny. We'll have some right now. All right. So that's it. We're Motor Mouth Radio. We'll be back next week. Chris, see ya.
See you, bud.
90.3 WHBC. We're out.